Our reading is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 to 31. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen."
Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them to the sea.
During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen."
Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived.
But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant.
Well, welcome back. As we continue on in our series in Hebrews chapter 11, this term, we've reached verse 29 this morning. And that says this, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. "By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and the fact that wherever we find ourselves in it, whenever we open it, you do speak to us and you tell us about yourself and you tell us about ourselves. Father, we ask that you would do that for us this morning, that you would lead us to see your Son, our Lord Jesus, as he walks off the pages of this book, your word. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand what you have to say to us and shape us to be more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. So sometimes in life, situations seem to get thrown up, don't they, which can kind of feel slightly impossible. Moments when you feel like you don't really know kind of where to go from here. This next step, even just the next one step, isn't clear, and you're kind of slightly, I don't know what to do. Maybe it could be kind of the student years when everybody else around you seems to have got figured out what they're going to do next after university, but you don't. You've pushed a few doors, you've tried a few places, nothing's really come up yet, and you're not quite sure what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and the next step just doesn't seem very clear. Or in fact, you don't really know what it is at all. Maybe for some of us it's the diagnosis that we get told in that clinic, or the diagnosis that a loved one gets told in that clinic, which implies years of pain and decline for either ourselves or someone we really love. And the next step just feels unclear. It feels uncertain. Maybe for some of us it's the fact that we are in a set of relationships, or maybe one specific relationship which is difficult and hard, and then it feels like there's no way forward, and sometimes even feels like there's no escape, like this is never going to improve. Or then again, maybe it's just the individual Christian experience, which is very normal for every one of us, that we find ourselves fighting against one sin or another, and we just don't feel like we're making any progress. It feels like the next step is unclear. How do I take another step in this fight? Where do I go wrong along the way? What mistake have I made that's led me into this situation? Surely it's not right. Or perhaps you turn that around. You say, where's God gone wrong? Why has he led me here as I've sought to follow him? I wonder if you can relate to any of that. The question, I guess, is what does God say to us in that kind of a situation? And this morning, as I say, we've reached Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, and I think God speaks out of this verse to us into situations like that, because Hebrews 11, verse 29 is quite a surprising verse in the chapter when you think about it. It's a really interesting verse, because so far through this chapter, we've heard and watched amazing heroes of faith from the Old Testament being sort of paraded before our eyes, haven't we? There's been Abel, who gave the sacrifice which is accepted by God. There's been Noah, who built that ark in faith and was rescued through the waves. There's been Abraham, who received the promise of God and then even went so far as being prepared to sacrifice his son as an act of faith and received him, as it were, back from the dead. There's been Joseph. And oh, hasn't it been brilliant to be reflecting on his story and thinking about the way that God kept him through all that he went through until he was able to say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then in these last couple of weeks has been Moses. Moses, who viewed the treasures and opportunities of Egypt as nothing compared to the worth of Christ and pursuing God. And we know our Old Testaments. If we know the stories, and we've heard the stories this last few weeks, we know that none of these guys were perfect. They had some deep, deep flaws, these heroes of the faith. But at the same time, they did amazing things. They lived in amazing ways. They are challenges to us. And the writer to Hebrews is kind of parading them before us, going, so you run the same race. You live out the same faith. And now we reach verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The people. And the question immediately is, well, okay, so who are we having paraded before us now? Who are these people? Of course, they're the generation, aren't they, who were rescued from Egypt by the Passover. They were the ones who followed Moses out of Egypt, that God brought out of Egypt. Amazing that they experienced that. But from that high point, everything seems to have gone downhill for that generation. You read their story in Exodus and then Numbers, and you will see a story of absolute decline. As they grumble against Moses, they complain against God, they eventually rebel and will not enter the land that God has promised to give them. And then eventually they all, the entire generation, end up dying in the wilderness. And here they are, being brought before us this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, alongside Noah and Abraham and Moses and the rest. We might immediately ask, why? What are they doing here? Why are these people in this chapter being given to us as an example of faith? What's going on here? And the answer is that there are times when God uses our feeble faith to display his saving grace. Because the point is, faith isn't the focus, ultimately, of this chapter. No, the object of faith is the focus. God is the focus, and God uses even our feeble faith to display his glorious grace. So let's have a look into this story in a little bit more detail. Exodus chapter 14. If you've not got Exodus 14 open in your Bible, turn back there and let's join Israel right by the Red Sea on the shore. And imagine what it must have been like. Can you imagine? Imagine the feelings that they must have gone through over the past few days as they've come out of Egypt. The absolute euphoria of waking up on the morning after the Passover and seeing the blood worked. The firstborn is alive. And Pharaoh is not just telling us we can go, but almost pushing us out of his land, just as God promised. The euphoria of grabbing everything you packed the night before, the kind of and getting it, slinging it all on your back or on your donkey, and getting the family out of the house and finally walking down the road, I don't know, the motorway out of Egypt. Amazing euphoria. And then there's the kind of the thrill of the fact that Egyptians are lining the road, or sending you on your way and giving you gifts as you go. As the wealth of Egypt gets given to you again, just as God had promised. You lift your eyes, you look ahead, you see hundreds of thousands of people, your nation walking along together with you, and up front there is this enormous pillar. Cloud by day, fire by night. God himself leading the way, almost setting up his sat-nav. I mean, that's a sat-nav you'd listen to, isn't it? In 400 yards, turn right. Yep, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll go that way. Following this powerful God who has done these things, can you imagine the sense of awe and blessing that must be rising up within Israel's hearts as they realize what is actually happening to them, pinching themselves? Is this true? It's true. And then the journey starts to take a bit of a meander. It doesn't seem quite so direct. And you start to turn one way and then another way. And then eventually Israel come to the sea and they're standing in front of the sea and you're feeling kind of a bit confused now. Like, what's going on? Now what do we do? I mean, has the sat-nav gone wrong? Have we lost kind of connection somehow? Can someone switch it on, switch it off again? Like, what do we do? And then as you stand by the sea, a few people start getting just a bit twitchy. What's that? What's that noise? Kind of faint rumbling. What's going on? And then twitchiness starts to become concern, and then concern becomes genuine alarm. And then as more and more people see what is coming and that rumbling gathers and the dust cloud rises and people begin to start see what is making it, they recognize that Pharaoh himself is coming. Bewilderment turns to alarm, which turns to fear. Have a look at chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Harioth opposite Baal Zephon. How do you feel now? All of that anticipation, all that euphoria, all that excitement, it's punctured, isn't it? Now you feel one thing and one thing only, and you feel terrified. Absolute fear. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Surely this isn't right. Surely something's gone wrong. God can't have meant this, can he? Did we go wrong somewhere? Have we taken a wrong turning? Has God got it? What's going on here? Has God made a mistake? No. Actually, God has led his people here deliberately. It is all his plan. Have a look back at verse 1, chapter 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Harioth between Migdol and the sea. They are to camp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. Had God made a mistake? No, God had led his people into this fight deliberately. Why? Why would God do that? Verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. The astonishing truth is, as God lays it out to Moses, that somehow through this, he will get the glory. That the Egyptians will know that he is the Lord, that he is Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so the first thing for us to spot from this chapter, this episode in the history of God's people, is a hard but comforting truth. The fact that God uses our feeble faith to display his saving grace means that if we are following him, if we are not actively disobeying him in sin, then he takes us where he wants to take us. If you're not pursuing sin, it is impossible for you not to be where God wants you to be as one of his people. It's that truth that has driven countless generations of Christians who have experienced and faced the hardest of situations. Take John Bunyan, who was put into prison for preaching the gospel, or Charles Simeon, who was a pastor of a church here in Cambridge, who faced opposition from the very people he was charged with caring for. Elizabeth Elliot, who saw her husband killed by the missionaries he sought to share the gospel with, and then went to do the same herself with those very same people. Joni Erickson Tada, who spent her life paralyzed from the neck down after a diving accident as a teenager. Figure after figure after figure after figure, if you read their writing, from the depths of their most difficult times, they cling to a confidence that this has not happened by accident. That God has led them precisely where he means to. And that somehow, even in ways that they may not know, he will get the glory. And so it is hard when we face an uncertain future, when we face health problems or difficult relationships or just our fight with sin that seems like we're not getting anywhere, it may be that those situations are exactly how God plans to display himself through you. I think that's worth reflecting on. Let's spend 30 seconds reflecting on that. The question will come up on the screen. But I think I kind of want to ask then as well, what do we do, though, when we face those things? How do we try and take the next step? Do we sort of wonder what God has done wrong? Do we rage against him? The people of Israel, they showed feeble faith. Have a look at verse 11 of chapter 14. The people said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the desert." This is the generation, remember, who have just seen the plagues, the Passover, and the pillar leading them out of Egypt. And now they are scared. And they are already convinced that God must have abandoned them. But before we judge them, aren't we vulnerable to asking exactly the same kind of question? God? In those moments, what we need to hear is the call to faith. And that is exactly what the people heard through Moses. Have a look at verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." It's as though Moses says, trust him. Trust God. The lamb, remember, the lamb died. And it is the same call to us. Trust. The lamb died. He has done what is needed to rescue you, and he will continue to rescue you. At the end of the day, we need to ask this question: has God saved us genuinely to make us his own, or to then just leave us alone? And we know the story, don't we? We know where this goes from here. God protects his people. First of all, that pillar of cloud and fire moves between the Israel and Egypt and protects them from their enemies. Moses lifts his staff. The wind blows. God parts the sea. It's amazing. Can you imagine standing there that morning watching seeing the sea parted into two enormous pillars of water, a path straight down the middle? What are the people thinking then? What are the people feeling then? Are they feeling like, goodness me, this is properly between a rock and a hard place, isn't it? There's Pharaoh and his chariots on one side. There's the sea and these frightening towers of water on the other. And they face a choice, don't they? Will the people walk through? Will they take faltering steps into the heart of the sea and follow God's lead? Imagine two Israelite brothers standing on the shore that morning. One of them is the kind of, he's the optimist. He's the one who is always fairly confident about everything. He's watched all that God has done, and he's been amazed by what God has done, and now he is even more amazed, and he just walks straight on in there, like he's having a stroll along the seafront. Ah, this is amazing. Check this out. Look at the fish swimming through. That's really cool. And just walks on through, happy as anything. His brother, he's of a different type of character. His brother is much more concerned. He's thinking, but what if the water falls down? I don't know if I can make this. I'm just not sure about it. He's constantly checking. He takes longer to get through because he's every single step. He wants to make sure the ground is okay. He's not going to get swallowed by the mud at the bottom of the sea. The water isn't going to come down against him. And then he emerges on the other side. The question is, which of those two brothers gets through the sea? Both of them. Both of them get through the sea. Because it's not about the strength of their faith, it's about the strength of their God. And God uses our feeble faith to display his saving grace. So it may be sometimes something in our lives right now where we feel grace. We can look at Israel taking a decisive step of faith and then finding themselves in Hebrews chapter 11. Feeble, faltering it may have been, but an example for us And so the question comes to us, will we take the decisive step of trusting Jesus and all he has done and knowing that he will continue to lead us on, even if we don't know where we're going? Let's take another moment to reflect on that question. But you know, even as we do reflect on that question, there is one enormous question which I've not asked yet this morning. And that is, how do I know, how do you know, that God will do for us what he did for Israel? In my situation, how do I know? We don't. We don't know that God will do something like that, something miraculous for us in our situation. Actually, he didn't for Israel every time. Read the book of the rest of the book of Exodus, read the book of Numbers, and you will see that he did not intervene every time for Israel. But actually, that's kind of not the point, because the whole purpose of the Passover and the Red Sea was not so much about getting the people out of Egypt as it was about getting Egypt out of the people. There they had been in a land which worshipped all manner of other gods, all manner of other idols, at which God himself has told the people in the book of Exodus to put away as they come out of the land. And now here, God displays his power that they might turn away from them once and for all. Have a look at verse 29 of chapter 14 of Exodus. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Do you see the dynamic there? As Israel take those steps of feeble faith, God then displays his saving grace and rescues them in this incredible way as they walk through the sea. And so that then leads to more faith as they continue to trust him, which means that they will see that same saving grace at work in their lives, which will prompt more faith. And so we end up in this cycle of faith, which brings God's saving grace, which brings faith, which prompts God's saving grace, which means that we can put more faith in him. From that moment on, God's people could look back at the sea and at the Passover and find their faith fueled for whatever they face next. And so the same can be true for us. We don't have the miracle of walking through the sea in our lives, but we have something so much better. We have the Lord Jesus, who in history walked through death to come to the opposite shore. And as we trust him, it becomes true in our lives that we have walked the same walk. We are united with him, given that same life. We have passed from death to life through the sea. And as Paul writes in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And so Hebrews 11:29, as the people are paraded in front of us for us to see, invites us in. Take the next step. However tentative it may be, however feeble your faith may feel, as you look back at what the Lord Jesus has done for you in his death and in his resurrection, so God will use your feeble faith to display his saving grace, whatever you face. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, these things are hard for us to hear because we know that they do not protect us from things which we would rather not happen. But yet at the same time, it is a great comfort. Our Lord, we ask that you would guide us, that you would help us to take those steps, however feeble and tentative they may feel, that our faith may rest on all you have done for us in Jesus, and then that that faith may spur us to step forward into whatever it is that you are leading us. We pray that you would help us to display your glorious grace in our lives and to have the confidence that you will do that through us and in us. In Jesus' name, amen.